Tantara Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Marine, The Life of Chesty Puller, by Burke Davis. Narrated by Bill Thatcher. Prologue. There was a snowstorm in the morning. It screened Chinese foxholes on hills above the perimeter and muffled artillery fire from the road to the pass where the 1st Marine Division was fighting its way to the south. It was December 8, 1950, on the frozen plateau of Koto Ri in the North Korean mountains. The troops were the 1st Marine Regiment, rear guard in one of the tragedies of American military history. A funeral was in progress. The thermometer by the commander's tent stood at 25 degrees below zero at dawn when the first men tried to dig graves. Their picks were useless in the iron hard earth. Dynamite crews set off blasts, but the earth heaved up in enormous black blocks of ice. The commander halted them. More than 100 bodies waited in the row of tents, stiffly frozen, stacked like cordwood.
"They'll stay like that until the spring thaw," the commander said. "But we can't leave them to the wild dogs. Blast out those potato sellers."
When the holes had been opened, the officer called in a battalion of tanks for the burial, for there was no other way. The beams of the headlights were lost in the swirling snow, and the whirring of the motors was carried away in the wind as the tanks made the graves. Back and forth, crunching icy blocks of earth upon the frozen bodies, the tanks buried the dead. The commander was Colonel Lewis Burwell Puller, 52 years old, 32 years a U.S. Marine. He was in the process of winning his 5th Navy Cross, the nation's second highest military award. No other Marine had won so many. He was not a large man, but his slight, spare frame was erect to the limit of its 5 feet 10 inches. The great thrust of his chest was obvious beneath the bulky uniform. The face was seamed and brown, as rough-hewn as a totem pole. Beneath an ancient cap, the almond-shaped eyes glinted green. The colonel gripped a short pipe in his teeth, as if he were on the point of gulping it down. His voice carried over the wind and down the rows of shuddering canvas, like a navy bullhorn. Among themselves, he was known to the men of the Corps only as Chesty Puller. The commandant of the Marine Corps had lately spoken of Colonel Puller. "He's about the only man in the Corps who really loves to fight. I'll go further. He's the only man in any of our services who loves fighting." For 2 weeks, Puller had commanded the rear of the 1st Marine Division, cut off in the Chosin Reservoir region by hundreds of thousands of Chinese communist troops. The colonel was visiting a hospital tent where a priest administered last rites to Marine wounded when a messenger came. "Sir, do you know they've cut us off? We're entirely surrounded."
"Those poor bastards," Puller said. "They've got us right where we want them. We can shoot in every direction now."
There had been last-minute reinforcements, a battalion of U.S. Army troops, which fought its way through the enemy with heavy losses. Its colonel reported to Puller for orders.
"Take your position along those hills and have your men dig in."
"Yes, sir. Now, where is my line of retreat?"
Puller's voice became slow and hard.
"I'm glad you asked me that. Now I know where you stand. Wait 1 minute."
He took a field telephone and called his tank commander. The Army officer listened to the Marine order.
"I've got a new outfit," Puller said. He gave his position in detail. "If they start to pull back from that line even 1 foot, I want you to open fire on them."
He hung up the telephone and turned to the Army officer.
"Does that answer your question?"
The last plane flew out in the afternoon through a momentary gap in the clouds. It carried 19 wounded through the falling snow, the last of 2,500 who had been flown to safety. The rear guard prepared to join the withdrawal. Puller countermanded part of his orders from his superiors.
"Abandon vehicles, they say, and destroy supplies. To hell with that. Don't leave a thing that will roll or we can carry. Take every scrap you can. We'll take out more trucks than we brought, thanks to the Army. Can you imagine going off and leaving them with the keys still in the locks?"
The colonel sought his jeep driver, Sergeant Orville Jones.
"Load up with the rest of the dead and wounded, but look them over close. Make sure the Marines before you take them."
Jones began his work. He lashed the body of a young tank commander to the front bumper. Other bodies went across the top. Wounded men crawled inside until the small vehicle could hold no more. The sergeant nosed his way into the stream of traffic on the slippery road to the pass. Puller left on foot at 3 p.m., when only the reconnaissance company...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?